Today we'll be in 2 Chronicles, chapter 22. 2 Chronicles. So I'll give you a little while to find that. It's after 1 Chronicles, obviously, but it's still Old Testament. Right before 3 Chronicles. No, there's no 3 Chronicles, so don't look for that. Second Chronicles chapter 22, we'll just read the passages as we go through the message today. So let's begin with a word prayer. So, Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this time, for your word, and Lord, that you still speak to us. We live in a time there's so many voices, whether you have TV or radio, internet, or just all around us, Lord, and sometimes we drown out your voice and your word. Lord, just for this next little slice of time here this morning, we can remove all those distractions, and we can hear your word to us today. We're thankful, Lord, that you still speak to us today and that your word is still relevant, Lord. We're thankful, Lord God, that, Lord, that you use your word, Lord Father, to encourage us, to correct us, to train us, to inspire us, Lord, to teach us. So we pray, Lord God, that we remember, Lord, this is your word, and we are to respond in a way that honors you. So just bless this time. We thank you. It's in your son's name. Amen. Well, there were three wealthy sons who wanted to give their elderly mother a great gift. And so the first said, I'll build a big house for our mother. The second said, well, I bought her a Mercedes. And the third said, I've got you both beat. I know mom really enjoys the Bible, so she can't see very well, and so I sent a parrot that can recite their entire Bible. It took 20 monks in a monastery 12 years of teaching and had to pledge $100,000 for each of those 12 years, but it was worth it. Mom just has to name the verse and chapter, and the parrot will recite it. So mom sends her letter of thanks, and the first son says, Michael, the house you built is too large. I live in only one room, but I have to clean the whole house. And to the second, she said, Marvin, I'm nearly blind, so I can't drive. I stay home all the time. I'll never use a Mercedes. And then the third, she said, dearest Melvin, you're the only son to have any good sense to know what your mother likes. That chicken was delicious. So, moms, you deserve a special day today, whether you get a house, a Mercedes, or a parrot / fried chicken. And this is a special day for you, so we want to thank you. I'm so thankful for my mom, whom I'm blessed to still have around. I talked to her this morning, and I'm blessed to have a wonderful wife who is a great mom to two little girls and another little girl on the way. And so thankful for her, and thankful for y'all as well, moms. And for some of you, this is not an easy day. Some for moms, it's maybe the hardest day of the year. Maybe you don't have your mom anymore, and so you miss her dearly. Maybe some of you moms have lost a child through some way, and you grieve for that loss today. And so whatever it is, God is there to comfort you. But thank you for all that you've done, and thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for great moms. And so we're going to talk about a good mom or a great mom. What makes a good mom? Is it her hard work? Is it her love for her kids? Is it her fried chicken recipe? What is it? So we're going to look at three marks of a good mom. And when you look at the Bible, we can look at a lot of good examples. We can look at Eve, the first mom. We can look at Sarah. We can look at Hannah. We can look at the Proverbs 31 woman. We can look at a lot of good examples. But today we're going to go to the opposite extreme. We're going to look at a not-so-good mom. As a matter of fact, if there was an award for the worst mom in the Bible, she would clearly win that, and maybe win the award for the worst mom ever. She was a bad mom. Her name was Adaliah, and she is the Darth Vader of moms. And so we're going to look at the dark side of motherhood today. And her parents are Ahab and Jezebel. And so you've probably heard the name Jezebel. So just being the daughter of Jezebel is bad enough. But she grew up and she's a good competition with Jezebel for a pretty wicked woman. So she shows us what moms are not to be like. So moms, everything you hear, do the exact opposite, okay? And maybe you're here and you think your mom is tough. Maybe you're in the house, you think, man, mom makes me brush my teeth and take a bath, and she's an awful mom. Well, maybe after a day you're going to think, man, mom's not that bad after all, okay? She's not the Darth Vader of moms. And maybe moms, for you, it's easy to so get discouraged. You have such a heavy burden and you're hard on yourself. You know, I could do this better, I could do that better. You know, what am I doing wrong? Or I wish I'd have done this. I hope this is an encouragement to you of looking back and saying, hey, maybe I'm a better mom than I thought. I'm not at a lie here. And maybe it's just an appreciation for all of us of what our moms do and how important they are. And so we're going to look at her life today, and we're going to see three marks of a good mom. And so whether you're a mom or not, this message is for you, because we should have these traits too, and we should be supporting moms. So we're going to look at her life. We're just going to jump into the story and look at the text, and then we'll note the marks as we go. So let's look at this Darth Vader of moms, if you will. So notice in verse 1 of chapter 22 of 2 Chronicles, it says, "Then the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Azariah, his youngest son, king in his place. For the band of men who came with the Arabs to the camp had slain all the older sons. And so Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Adaliah, the granddaughter of Omri." So this begins the story. Her son becomes king. He's 22 years old. And it says there that she, Adaliah, is the granddaughter of Omri. He was a king and a wicked king, but she's also the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. So hold your place there, and let's look in 1 Kings. It's a few books in front of 2 Chronicles. So let's look at 1 Kings chapter 16. Just a little reminder here. If you remember anything about Ahab and Jezebel, they were not model citizens by any means. They were wicked people who abandoned the Lord, who hated the Lord. Jezebel killed prophets of God, and Elijah was afraid of her. Remember, he ran for his life to run from Jezebel. And so Ahab and Jezebel were not good people at all. And in 1 Kings chapter 16, first of all, notice in verse 25, this would have been Adaliah's grandfather, Omri. Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than all who were before him. Not a good dude. Now jump down to verse 29. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, became king over Israel in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, and Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went to serve Baal and worshipped him. And so he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab also made the Asherah. Thus Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So, anyway, you start looking at her family of Omri and of Ahab and Jezebel. She had a shady family, a very evil, wicked family. And so now she grows up, and she's showing that she is the same, very same way. So back in our passage here, in 2 Chronicles chapter 22, her son becomes king. And then notice in verse 3, he, or her son, the new king, also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, which is the ways of evil. What does it say there? For his what? Who? Mother was his counselor to do what? Wickedly. You might want to underline that. That's a key phrase there. He walked in the ways of Ahab, the ways of evil. Why? Because his mother counseled him to do wickedly. She is advising him to do evil. Can you imagine that? She is whispering in his ear to do things that is contrary to what God has said. Now, yes, he's king, and yes, he's 22, and he's a young man, but he's a grown man. He makes his own decisions, but his mom still has a great influence upon his life, and she counsels him to do wickedly. Do you remember the story of Snow White and the evil queen who disguises herself and gives Snow White a poison what? Apple, right? Well, I just think of Adaliah giving her son. She's the wicked queen, giving her son this poison apple of wickedness, counseling him to do wicked. Imagine a mother counseling her son to do wicked, advising him, telling him to do things that are wrong. Instead of telling her son to treat others nicely, she's telling her son to disrespect others and to beat them up. Instead of telling him to obey your teachers, she tells him to disobey his teachers. Instead of pointing him to be honest, she teaches him to be a liar. Instead of saying, this is the way of God, she says, this is the way of the devil. Imagine a mom counseling her children to do wicked. Now, there are moms today who live evil lives and who point their children that way. I read about a mom in Georgia just lost her 5 children in court. She held her party for her daughter and partied with them by drinking, smoking pot, and played inappropriate games with them. She even had relations with the daughter's 16-year-old boyfriend. What kind of mom does this? What type of influence is she having? Well, Adaliah was a wicked mom, and she influenced her mom and or her kids in a wicked way. And so moms are to do the exact opposite, which is our first mark, is a good mom is a godly influence. A good mom is a godly influence that counsels her children to do godly things, not to do wicked things. G. Campbell Morgan was a great preacher, and he had 4 sons, all of whom were preachers. The youngest son, Howard, was asked, Howard, who is the greatest preacher in your family? Without hesitation, he answered, my mother. You know, moms may not stand in the pulpit and preach, but they have a great influence over their children. And yes, men, we're to be the spiritual leaders of our household, but a mom has great influence, too, over her children. You read about Hannah, who had a great influence over Samuel, and just the example she set. You read about how Eunice had an influence over Timothy. So much so, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 1:15, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure dwells in you. Proverbs 6:20 says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. And so, mom, counsel your children to do godly things, to be kind, to be loving, to be patient, to follow the ways of the Lord. There's a saying, behind every great man, there's a greater woman. And that is true with our lives, with our wives, but it's also true with our moms. George Washington's mother, for example, taught him biblical ideas of political and social morality. President Garfield's mom was a widow with 4 children. She taught her children how to manage the farm and fear the Lord, and apparently built a log house with her own hands, and that was also used as a church. And ladies, you may not build a log house, but you are building children. You need to be a godly influence. Don't be like Adaliah and counsel your children to do wickedly. You say, well, I would never do such a thing. You may not outright do that, but how about how your life? Maybe hold a grudge for somebody. Maybe you're bitter. Maybe you're angry around your kids, or maybe your kids hear you gossip, or maybe you show them things on TV or expose them things they shouldn't watch, or you say one thing and do another, and you're not living up to what you tell them to do. Maybe you're counseling them in the wrong direction. But mothers, be encouraged, and you can be a positive difference in their lives. So counsel your children in the right way. So maybe some of your mothers, moms that are here today, you did counsel your children to do the right thing, but yet they grew up and went the wrong way. Well, don't give up on them. Keep praying for them. Keep setting that example. You did all you could while they were under your house. Now they're making their own decisions, and God can change anybody. But if your mother was a positive influence, thank her for that. Thank her that you didn't have a mom like Adaliah who counseled her son to do wickedness. But here's a story with Adaliah. Every time we see something about her, it only gets worse. She counseled her son to wickedness, but it only gets worse. Notice in verse 4, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for they were his counselors after death of his father to his destruction. So she and others counseled him, and it wound up in his destruction. Notice in verse 5, he also walked according to the counsel and went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to wage war against Hazael, king of Aram at Ramoth-Gilead, but the Arameans wounded Joram. And so he returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds which they had inflicted on him at Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Aram. And Hazael, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was sick. Now the destruction of Ahaziah was from God, and that he went to Joram, for when he came, he went out with Joram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And it came about when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahab's brothers ministering to Ahaziah and slew them. He also sought Ahaziah, and they caught him while he was hiding in Samaria, and they brought him to Jehu, put him to death, and buried him. For they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. So there was none of the house of Ahaziah to retain the power of the kingdom. So there's a lot of names, a lot of places. This is what happened is his mother and others counseled him to go to war. We don't know why they went to war, but he went to war. And because of that, his life was taken, right? Okay, his life was ended because of all that and what happened. So, and yes, it says the Lord's hand was in it, but he was in the exact spot. Why? Because his mother counseled him in that path. So his mother set him up for failure and set him up for his death. And he only reigned for 1 year, all because he listened to his mom. And so good mothers don't do that. They set their children up not for failure, but success. And so that's the second mark. A good mom is a godly influence, but also a good mom sets their children up for success. The exact opposite of what Queen Adaliah did. Thomas Edison said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast a good influence that lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I could never lose. If I had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I would have never likely become an inventor. I was always a careless boy and with a mother of different mental caliber. I would have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing. Many of us here could attest to the difference the moms have made in our life, right? A mom makes their kid do homework to set them up for success later on in life. Mom makes them take a bath to set them up for proper hygiene when they grow up, right? Mom takes them to the doctor so the child could be healthy and live a nice, successful life. And so mother set us up for success. Now, success doesn't mean the kid's going to be wealthy, doesn't mean the kid's going to be powerful or be famous, but true success is teaching a child respect, teaching a child honesty to do their best, and ultimately to teach them the way of the Lord, to follow God. That is true success. And so I know my success and where I am today has a lot to do with my wife, but it started with my mom. I wouldn't be here without my mom, so you can blame her for that today. So I wouldn't be a pastor if it wasn't for my mom. She prayed for me. She made me go to church. She set an example with my dad. And so she set me up for success. And that's what moms do, and that's what moms are supposed to do. Theodore Roosevelt said, when it's all said, it is the mother and the mother only who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training boys and girls who are able to be men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman, businessman, artist, or scientist. So children grow up and make their own decisions, but mom has a big part in that. You know, we're all familiar with the Statue of Liberty. You may or may not know the sculptor at the time was looking for a model. And he wanted a model to depict figures of thought which are grand in themselves. So guess who he used as the model? What day is it? His mom. Everybody listen. He's his mom, right? Okay, very good. Well, if there was a statue of wickedness, Queen Adaliah would be the model. She was a very wicked person. And as I said, the first time she counseled her son to do wicked, and then it got worse. And now we say she set her son up for failure and death, but guess what? It gets even worse. It's about to get messy and nasty. Now, notice in verse 9, we read in verse 9 that at the end there was no one in the house of Ahaziah to retain the power of the kingdom. So what happens in verse 10. Now when Adaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring of the house of Judah. So, there's a vacuum of leadership. Her son is dead. So what does this sweet woman do? Does she call for a vote? Does she say next one in line? No, she goes on a killing spree. She wipes out the family so she can retain power. This includes her grandchildren. She wipes out whoever she can get a hold of. Now imagine that, how sick that is for a woman to kill her own family, to have her own grandchildren to be put to death. Why? Because she cared more about her power than about her own family. You know, there's some pretty sick moms today, and you can read, this stuff happens more often than you think. There was a woman in Florida just killed two of her kids and left her five-month-old in critical condition. And you can go and read about that. It's pretty gruesome. There's a mom in Detroit that just admitted to killing her two kids and putting them in the freezer. And there was other things here, other examples. This stuff happens all the time. Good mothers would not do such a thing, no matter how difficult a child may be. So, brings us to our last and final mark is, she's a godly influence. She sets her children up for success, but thirdly and finally, she provides a safe and loving environment. A good mother, opposite of Adaliah, provides a safe and loving environment. I think you've heard this before, but it's good. How to bake a cake. Light the oven, get out utensils and ingredients, remove blocks and toy autos from table, grease pan, measure 2 cups of flour, remove Johnny's hands from flour, wash flour off of him, remeasure flour, put flour, baking powder, and salt in sifter, get dustpan and brush up pieces of bowl Johnny knocked off the floor, answer door, the doorbell, return to the kitchen, remove Johnny's hands from the bowl, wash Johnny, answer phone, return, remove 1/4 inch salt from grease pan, look for Johnny, grease another pan, answer telephone, return to kitchen and find Johnny, remove his hands from the bowl, take up grease pan and find layer of nutshell in it, head for Johnny who flees, knocking bowl off table, wash kitchen floor, tables, walls, and dishes, call the baker and lie down. I think moms can relate with that, right? And dad just sit back and watch, and we go sit in our chair and watch ESPN and take a nap. But moms, you can identify that. You do so much. You clean, you cook, you wash laundry, and then laundry seems to multiply. As soon as you put it up, somehow or another, there's another pile that needs to be washed and cleaned, and the dishes do the same way. But you do all you can to provide your children a safe and loving environment. But Queen Adaliah did not do that. She did son evil to her son. She set him up for ruin. And then she killed members of her own family so she could be in power. And she was in power for 6 years. But an heir to the throne was kept safe and hidden away. Notice in verse 11 and then verse 12, our last two verses. But Jehoshabeth, the king's daughter, that's an awesome name, Jehoshabeth, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was a sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Adaliah so that she would not put him to death. He was hidden with them in the house of God 6 years when Adaliah reigned over the land. So, this Jehoshabeth took one of the sons, this baby boy who was an heir to the throne, and hid him away for 6 years. Why? So this wicked woman would not take his life and not kill him because she wanted to remain in power. And you can read ahead after 6 years when the boy was 7, they proclaimed him king and Adaliah was put to death. But this little boy was the last line in the line of David to carry on the name of David and the kingdom and all that entailed, and it was spared and saved because of the courage of this woman, because of Jehoshabeth and what she did, because she provided a safe and loving environment for this little boy. The Midrash, which is a Jewish commentary, lists this courageous woman as one of the 23 great righteous women of Israel. I'm reminded of Moses' mother who did what she had to do and put him in the basket in the river to save his life because she wanted to provide a safe and loving environment the only way that she could at the time. I think about Pharaoh's daughter who got Moses and provided him with a safe and loving environment, who had a heart, a mother's heart. You know, God gets a mother's heart in each lady, even from youth, from being a little girl. I know Ainsley, from about the time she was a year old, started playing with baby dolls because she has a heart of a mother that's implanted in her. And now Emma, now watching her playing with baby dolls, she has a heart of a mother. So here's a great little poem here to remind you moms. It says, "Just yesterday, it seems my children played upon the floor, and I wiped countless fingerprints from window pane and door. I kissed away a thousand tears and repaired sock after sock and tried to keep pace with the hands that raced around the clock. And often when at the end of the day too tired to sleep, in bed I lay. I think how nice when children grown, my time again should be my own. So now I sit and rock alone, my hands at rest, the work all done. No little tots upon the floor, no fingerprints upon the door, no socks to mend, bruises to kiss, ah me. How could I know I'd miss the very things I grudged to do? Dear God, if only there might be someone again who needed me." Moms, being a mom is not an easy job, right? And each stage of the way, it is difficult, and you never stop being a mom. And so we want to thank you for all that you do. And for some of you, you have seen your children grow up, your daughters grow up, and you're now a grandmother and or a grandfather, and you're seeing your child with a mother's heart. And that's a great blessing passing it on. So, moms, thanks for influencing your children in a godly way, for setting them up for success, providing a safe and loving environment. So let's close out with these things here. First of all, be thankful for your mom. You know, are you really appreciative of your mom? Maybe you're still at home and your mom's the worst thing ever. You know, your mom's not that bad, okay? She's not Adaliah. So thank the Lord for the goodness of your mom, right? Even your mother-in-law is not Adaliah, okay? I have a great mother-in-law, by the way, that I love dearly. Amen. All right. But tell your mom how much you appreciate her. Moms, turn to God for help. You're not Adaliah, but it's not easy being a mom, being a parent. You get frustrated. You know, you lose your patience sometimes. Ask God for strength. Ask God to help you out. And know that you're important. Husbands, we need to make sure we support our wives and being moms. They need our help. It's not just them raising our children, okay? So we need to support them. But Adaliah's biggest problem, she had a heart problem, right? She was not right with God. And you may not murder someone, but Jesus even said if you're angry with someone, it's murder in your heart. You may not be as wicked as her, but we're all wicked. We all sin. The only way we can be forgiven of our sin is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so don't compare yourself to her and say, "I'm okay." Compare yourself to Jesus. And you're not perfect. You fall short. We all need Christ. Have you trusted in Him? I encourage you to do that today. I want to end with this. Did you hear about the mom who called Pizza Hut? Her and her, I think, three kids were kidnapped by her boyfriend. You hear about that? And so she talked him into ordering a pizza. And so she called Pizza Hut, and on the little comment section, she said, "You know, we're being kidnapped. Call 911. And Pizza Hut actually responded and called 911, and help came, and the kids were safe. I thought, man, what an awesome mom, right? Moms do whatever it takes. And so thank you, moms, for doing whatever it takes. You may not be in that situation, but I know you go above and beyond. And thank you so much for all you do. So let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for our moms. So thankful, Lord, for all that they do for us, Lord God. Moms are a gift from you. And so I just want to encourage moms today. Lord, Father, they have a tough task, Lord God. But just let them know that you're with them, that you give them strength, that you give them the help they need, Father. So just encourage them of how important they are to influence their kids in a godly way, to provide a safe and loving environment. Lord, to set their kids up for success. And true success is knowing you and following you. Lord, I'm thankful for my mom and for Lori, the mom that she is. And I pray for each one here to be appreciative of their mom. And if their mom is still alive, to tell them how much they mean to them. And if their mom is not here, Lord, just to cherish some memories and to thank you for that gift of their mom. And Lord, I just pray, Lord God, for ultimately for those who don't know you today. Lord God, that who may not be like Adaliah, Lord God, and her extreme wickedness, but Lord, nonetheless, we're not perfect and we all fall short, and one sin, Lord God, is disobedience towards you. Let them find relief and forgiveness and hope in Christ. Let us be obedient now and do whatever you've called us to do. And we love you. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand today as we sing and respond?